is about perseverance. It's about obedience, and it leads to our sanctification. But a lot of times our prayers are we are in it for the long haul. And I have been asking myself, am I in it just for the feels and what I can get from God? Or is it more about my relationship with Him, and is Jesus enough?
Welcome to the Mama Bear Apologetics Podcast,
a podcast where we teach you to roar like a mother.
And by roar, we mean recognize the message, offer discernment, argue for a healthier approach, and reinforce these ideas with your kids.
Unless you want to growl around your house. I mean, that's cool too. You're like, check it. We keep it reals.
That's so bad.
You're awesome.
Mama Bear Apologetics is a listener-supported program, so if you like what we do, head on over to the Mama Bear Apologetics website and click support.
It's time to rise up, ladies.
Rise up, Mama Bears. This might not affect your faith,
but it might affect your children's. Well, hey there, Mama and Papa Bears. I'm really excited for this kind of opening of the new year, 2025. We're recording this podcast because I've got an amazing guest with us. I've got Julie Lose, who is the co-author of the brand new Honest Prayers for Mama Bears book, which if you have not gotten it yet, it is gorgeous, especially the note-taking edition. I cannot just encourage you enough. If you're going to spoil a mom in your life, that is a fantastic gift idea. But Julie, I am just so thankful for you to join us today to give us some wisdom on this great concept, this great spiritual discipline that is prayer.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here. It's good to talk with you. And I just hope we can be helpful to the moms out there, encourage them in their own prayer life and how to get their kids started in prayer, because it's never too early and it's never too late to be a praying person and a praying mom.
Oh my gosh. I love that encouragement, because I think that's one of the easiest ways that Satan can really cripple us as moms, is to, you know, get us all wrapped up in the schedules and then make us think that we've already missed the window of opportunity. Like, oh my gosh, if I haven't taught my, you know, 14-month-old how to recite the Lord's Prayer, like I'm failing as a Christian mother. I mean, Christian mom guilt is real. And so
it's real.
Yeah. And I'm just thankful that you're joining us for this. For people who don't know you, can you just share a little bit of your background? Because you've been involved in prayer ministry for quite a while.
Yeah, I have. I'm a mom on the back end of being a mom, in the sense that both of my boys are now adults. They're married and they have children. So I have two grandchildren, a little girl and a little boy. And now I'm starting praying for them, just like I did for my boys when they were little. Yeah, my grandmother set a really great example of being a praying person. And I think that modeling just kind of led me to be more, I don't know, interested or involved in prayer. I really can't remember a time in my own Christian life when I haven't tried to have dedicated prayer time. Mm. And then fast forward, when I did have children, and especially when my oldest was getting ready to go off to school, to public school, I had heard about a ministry called Moms in Prayer.
Yeah.
It prays specifically for kids in their schools. And I got involved with that and have been involved in local and national leadership for Moms in Prayer for, gosh, over two decades now, and still pray in a Moms in Prayer group. And then got involved in apologetics when my oldest went to middle school. Because I was like, oh, we're going to be encountering some things that, you know, pop the bubble after elementary school. And you got to remember, this was, you know, my boys are 27 and 29. So this was a while ago. Yeah. Things have changed greatly. And that's when I started studying apologetics. And Hillary and I met at an apologetics conference when she was just beginning to think about the concept of Mama Bear. So we go way back. I've seen her birth that, and was involved on the prayer team early on, and then got involved in helping with the different books.
Wow, that is awesome. And you've been involved, I think, in every book. You're the one that's responsible for all those Mama Bear prayers at the end of each chapter. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah. That's been a great blessing that I have been able to use that, wow, as a way to minister to people. It seems like prayer has become a little more of the heavy emphasis of my ministry work, although I have done work in apologetics in the past. And I really feel like an ambassador for apologetics. Yeah. I like to introduce people to that and how it can help them in their faith and their kids as well.
I love that. And I love that legacy of faith too, to where now you've got this promotion to Grandmama Bear. And now it's okay. Now I get to raise up, pray over my grandbabies. And I love that because you're not only modeling it, just like your grandmother modeled it, you're going to be passing that down. And that's wonderful because prayer, it's an important aspect. It's an integral aspect of our Christian walk, but also it's integral to spiritual warfare as well. And that's one thing, you know, I look over at the armor of God in some of the talks that I do. And one thing that struck me is right after the listing of the armor of God in Ephesians 6:18, we're called to pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. I mean, this is so important as an aspect, not only of protection, but it's also an aspect of being alert, being vigilant to what's going on around us. So, I mean, it's proactive, it's reactive, it's prayerful, it's, you know, pouring over for that protection. And it's one of those skills that me personally, that I have struggled with just not quite knowing how to go around it. And it's been interesting here recently. My son, we were at dinner and, you know, it's my husband and I that'll lead prayer. And we passed it off to one of my youngest sons why don't you pray? And he kind of froze. I don't know if it was like a stage fright thing, but he was sitting there and he's like, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And that really hit me as in like, okay, how can we help encourage more intentional prayer within our kids? Because sometimes, especially even if we're caught off guard, you know, it doesn't come as intuitively as we would like, especially when it comes to kids.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about that a little bit offline and I was just thinking, you know, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Even if it's the most simple and most basic prayer, and prayer time at dinner is a great place to start. I also tried to pray over my kids before bedtime. Mm. And that's a time that I use to kind of teach them a little bit more, you know, about prayer.
Yeah.
But being intentional, I think, is so key because we want to learn to pray in the way God calls us to pray. And that's scripturally, that's kingdom-minded prayers. It doesn't mean that we don't pray for our own needs, for sure.
Right.
He asks us to do that and invites us to do that. But there are so many more ways to pray and things to teach our kids about prayer. It's not just about asking.
Yeah. And I love that because we can model throughout our own home life, but we do have to set aside time to intentionally pray, not just on the Lord's Prayer, but on also, okay, how are you going to talk to God yourself when a need arises, when you're just trying to have communion with God? And you noticed too, we were talking on you noticed a correlation between prayer life and the youth exodus. Can you kind of share a little bit about that?
Yeah, when Hillary and I were both involved in a lot of research on the youth exodus, and that's what kind of kicked off the first Mama Bear book, some of the research that I saw, I mean, it's so common sense, but it did actually say that to help kids own their own faith and therefore not be so tempted maybe to walk away from it when they get to college, out in the world or whatever, that teaching them their own spiritual disciplines of Bible study and personal prayer time, not just something they see others do, you know, or whatever, but we are instructing, training them and encouraging them on that. That gives them a strong foundation that they are developing that personal relationship with Christ. And that's something that they can hearken back to when they have doubts, when they have needs, when they're being tempted. So, you know, it's kind of like I said, common sense, but research did support that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And that makes so much sense. And I love how you talk about, or how you just mentioned here about, you know, each child is a little bit different, how they have to be kind of taught to own their own faith rather than it's just an action that we do. No, this is actually something that I have in fellowship with God. And it just brings to mind Proverbs 22:6, where we are commanded as well as warned that, you know, how we train up our kids, we should train up our children in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they shall not depart from that. Meaning that this involves a deep knowledge of the personality of our child and then train them, teach them in a way that equips, that plays into their sort of personality strengths, but also builds up their weaknesses. Because that's one thing I noticed, as a young mom, I had three boys back to back to back. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm just having three boys. They're all going to be the same. And no, when you have more than one child, you realize they have their own brand of crazy and you get to learn their personality, their silliness, their strengths, their weaknesses. And what works with one child will not necessarily work with another. So again, that really speaks into the intentionality with the discipleship regarding prayer, because how you pray and minister and help train up maybe your oldest is going to be totally different from perhaps your youngest.
That's a good point. Yeah. I don't know that maybe I did that the best when I was raising mine, but if I had a do-over, I would reconsider that for sure. Well,
and it's great because now you have grandbabies, boy and girl. So, I mean, obviously we're going to have different personalities. So it's like, ooh, cool. I can like try some different things and see what works and which totally crashes and burns. And, you know, it's all for the glory of God and learning. So, mamas, if you're listening, our goal for this podcast is we're going to, first and foremost, look at how Jesus taught us to pray first. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to give you a few suggestions on how to help you and your child, help you nurture your child's intentional prayer through sort of mealtime prayer, personal prayer, and accountability. So, Julie, you know, we've been kind of bouncing back and forth on this, on just the importance of intentionality. And you mentioned before that, you know, when it comes to God, we don't want kids to sort of see God as kind of like this Santa Claus figure, like, oh, I'm gonna write my prayer request list to the Lord and just hope he brings it to me and that sort of thing. That it's this intentionality of prayer really changes that dynamic to this more relational style that we have with God.
Right. And, you know, like I said, the Lord tells us to bring him our needs, and we can certainly do that. And that is request. That I think that's what people in general, when you think of prayer, you think of asking God for things, even for yourself, which a lot of people call intercession, or for yourself, which is supplication. Mm. And while that is a huge part of prayer, there are other aspects to prayer. And I think we can be intentional in teaching our kids that. And that's something that I learned a lot through Moms in Prayer. There are other ways to pray. I'm not by any means saying this is the only way to pray, but teaching our kids, and it's even modeled in the Lord's Prayer, that praise is a type of prayer.
Yeah.
Praising God for who he is, his names, his attributes, his characteristics. That has been one of the greatest things for me in growing in my faith, because when I know who God is, A, that's a form of worship, right?
Amen.
I get to know him better, so I grow in my trust of him, okay? And you'll see in a minute, as we talk through maybe these steps of prayer, that the way you praise him can also then affect how you ask of him.
Wow.
Because you can ask according to his nature, you know? And then to teach our kids that confession is a huge part of prayer.
Yeah.
You know, we fall short of God's standard, right? Mm-hmm. We sin. And we need to learn to recognize that and to keep a short, you know, short account, short list of that. Ask God, admit it, ask God for help, and to turn in a new way. Mm. Now, we may end up asking for that over and over again. I know I do some of the same things, but the point is admitting that we know we need his help.
Wow.
Okay. So that's confession. Then you can teach our kids intentionally that another part of prayer is giving thanks, showing gratitude for the things God has done, the way we are seeing him at work, for his creation, for the way he's answering the prayers that we have asked. And then we kind of get down to, Lord, okay, here's what I really need help with. And then talk about, you know, asking for help in our day-to-day life or praying for others.
Yeah. And I love that because it is when we look at Matthew 6, 9 through 13, it starts out with praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed mm-hmm. be thy name. And I think that's so important. I completely agree to start off with that praise, because especially if you are in a valley moment where it seems like everything is going wrong, it can be so easy for you to get overwhelmed by that darkness. But instead, when we can stop and praise God for who he is, then, like you said, that brings us back to the truth of his nature. And what is he? He is faithful. He is just. He is loving. And so that reaffirms these foundational mm-hmm. attributes of God that communicates to truth, protection, love, purpose for our own lives, to where that actually helps, I think, silence some of those dark voices that Satan will send to try and keep us in that depressed, anxious state, when we can just stop and praise first and recognize who he is, praise his nature, because that affirms his relationship with us, but also our own identity. And I mean, that's where Satan's really attacking so much of our identity. So that I love how you point to that need to stop and pray and praise him, because that is just foundational. And it's so much more than just praising him for his nature. It's affirming who he is, his promises to us, our identity, and our purpose and future hope within him. I mean, just within that one little bit, it's incredible.
Yeah, that is so well said, because, I mean, it lifts your eyes from the circumstances to the God over the circumstances,
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And when everything around us is chaos or changing or untrue, if there is one thing we can go back to, it is who he is and his nature.
Wow. Amen. Amen. So that starts out verse 9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, praise. And then verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is a really neat shift, because we're affirming God's nature, and now we're pointing and focusing on his kingdom.
Right. Yeah, a great resource that I would like to recommend to people is a Bible study by the Daily Grace Company. Mm. It's one of the best ones recently that I have done, and it's simply called Pray, Cultivating a Passionate Practice of Prayer. And I think they really did a good job of explaining this part of the Lord's Prayer, because I had kind of struggled with what does it mean, you know, to pray for your kingdom come.
Yeah.
I get your will be done. Mm-hmm. And just briefly, I pulled it out, and they were saying that the central mission given to all Christians is to expand the kingdom of God on earth. His kingdom is not a physical place, but rather it's being built in the hearts of people who love and serve him. Mm. We should ask God to continue to build his kingdom in and through us. And then it takes you through some exercises, like when you're praying, Lord, how could your kingdom be built through this situation? Mm. And then pray for that. And then, of course, for God's will to be done, you know, his revealed will in scripture is what we want to pray that will be done, and that we will be a part of building his kingdom, obeying his will, and helping that to happen.
Hey, it's Hillary with Mama Bear Apologetics. Did you know that we spend on average of 90% of our time indoors, but that indoor air can be up to 100 times more polluted than the outdoor air? My husband and I moved this last summer and immediately had our basement flood and had everything torn out of the basement. So when my parents came to spend a week, my dad was sneezing like crazy. And all of a sudden, like 3 days in, I was like, oh my gosh, we have not unpacked the Air Doctor Pro. Breathe Easy with Air Doctor Pro is the award-winning air purifier that eliminates 99.99% of dangerous contaminants like allergens, viruses, smoke, gases, mold spores, and more. And I can say that for a fact with mold spores, because we did find mold. Air Doctor was also voted the best air purifier by Newsweek. So it's no surprise that 98% of Air Doctor customers agree that their home's air feels cleaner, safer, and healthier. Unlike other air purifiers, Air Doctor captures particles that are 100 times smaller than the standard HEPA filters. So head over to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code MBA, like Mama Bear Apologetics, to get up to $300 off today. Yes, you heard that. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't like it, send it back. Plus a 3-year warranty. That's an $84 value, all free, just by being a Mama Bear Apologetics podcast listener. Get this exclusive podcast-only offer at airdoctorpro.com. That is A-I-R-D-O-C TORPRO.com. Use the promo code MBA, like Mama Bear Apologetics.
Man, I love that, because that's even a great thing that we can pray over with our little kids of, okay, the kingdom of maybe your friend community right now, your friend group, your classroom. I love that. And what's so mm-hmm. neat, I was just sitting here looking at verses 9 and 10, is it's really reflective of Mark 12:30-31, when Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? First and foremost, he mm-hmm. said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what we see in the Lord's Prayer. Very first and foremost, we're praising mm-hmm. and loving God. Secondly, we're also praising, and as you were talking about, seeking out the willing of the kingdom, that which is around us here on earth. And I just think that's really neat. So
I like how you tied that together. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's really good.
So the next, we've got this. It starts out God-focused, kingdom-focused, and then we see a shift to give us today our daily bread. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that this is now we bring in the daily needs. We're focused on, we're worshiping God first, we're seeking out the will of his kingdom, and now it's like, okay, now we can bring in those daily needs.
Absolutely. There's the permission
right there.
I mean, this is the model that Jesus gave us, mm-hmm. that we can come to him and ask for our daily needs. And of course, that can cover a myriad of things.
Yeah. And I love, so in our resources, there's a link, Mamas, to a video done by the Bible Project on the Lord's Prayer. Mm. And I love how they bring this back to, this was kind of a reference to the daily provision of the Israelites when they were wandering around for those 40 years before being entering mm-hmm. into the promised land. Every day there would be manna from heaven providing for those daily needs. And it really speaks into that we need to have this daily dependence on the Lord's provision rather than on our own selves. And I know as a mom, mom and now grandmama, we put a lot of expectation on ourselves. And one of the temptations that we can have as Christians is to try to now become a pseudo Holy Spirit for our children, which will always fail. Just personal experience here. It'll always fail. And it's one of those ways I don't have to put everything on myself. Instead, what I need to be focusing on is, who am I dependent on? And that is, mm-hmm. it's supposed to be on Christ.
Right. And, you know, I think prayer keeps us humble too, because it helps us see our need for God, that we cannot do it all in our own strength, nor should we.
Mm, amen.
And, you know, he also tells us to come to him, that give him our burdens, let him help carry those. Mm. And sometimes if that's the only thing that you could do in your prayer time is to release a burden to the Lord, then that's a good prayer time. And realize that you can walk in his strength and not your own.
Oh, man. Amen. And I mean, that just it totally coincides with Philippians 4:6, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, there's that praise again, and gratefulness and gratitude, let your requests be made known to God. And I mean, that's just, it blends so perfectly for help taming those anxious, those anxiety thoughts, those depressive thoughts, that it's, we're called to keep every thought captive to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And oh man, those moments where we can go with that supplication for our daily bread, we can go and release it to the Lord and sort of release one of those burdens that he has very willingly taken on.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite scriptures on prayer. Yeah. If I turn my camera around, you'd see a sign I have in my office
perfect.
That says that. And in a way, I would encourage ladies to really spend some time in that verse. Mm. It's a prescription for how to pray. Ooh. And break it apart and work through it, especially when you are anxious.
Yeah.
And figure out what, even in the midst of that anxiety and anxiousness, what can you still thank him for?
Mm. Oh my gosh. And I'm automatically thinking that is so great, especially for kids as they get mm-hmm. older, they get more verbal, passions and struggles for kids. You know, sometimes they can be very easily overwhelmed by their emotions, their feelings. And that, I love that prescription that you say for Philippians 4:6, because that is something that when we're having an overwhelming moment, maybe with a child, we pull aside and be like, okay, sweetheart, let's break down what you're going through. Let's break down what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Now let's step by step, let's give it up. I mean, oh, that's help calming for the parent. That's help calming for the kids. That's learning that self-control, which is an aspect of the spiritual fruit that we demonstrate within the spirit. And it helps them rightly channel emotion, stress, anxiety, and submit all that to God. That is, this is awesome. Oh my gosh, Julie, I'm so excited that we're doing this. This is, I am praising the Lord throughout all this. So give us our daily bread. And now we're shifting into a little bit of accountability here, because now it's forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And yeah, this is that moment where we have to come and be like, okay, but we got to realize there's some things that we have to do as well. And it involves, as you say, confession.
Right. I mean, God has forgiven us more than we can ever deserve or imagine, right?
Amen.
So we are called to forgive others. And I would also add, we're called to forgive ourselves. I think a lot of times as moms, we have a problem with that, you know, that mom guilt and not forgiving ourselves for certain things. But yes, this definitely speaks to confession. It speaks to examination. It speaks to being dependent on God to work through forgiving others if you have to, because that is a hard thing.
Yeah.
You know, but we are called to do that. And Jesus did the greatest example of that by forgiving us.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's really helpful, even just within our marriage lives. Like, how are we to navigate those moments of conflict with our spouse? And, you know, our culture today within, you know, I think of all the sitcom shows, they're all horrific. Like, the relationships are just deeply toxic on both sides. But how are we supposed to navigate disagreements with our spouses? That whole, you know, confessing where we have gone wrong, that examination of perhaps, okay, how am I feeling right now? But is that accurate to what actually happened? Where am I in error? Where am I misunderstanding? How can I ask for clarification on something maybe I misunderstood or misperceived? And that dependence on the Lord and love, that mutual coming together. I mean, that's just important, not just with our kids, but with our spouses as well.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, pay attention to those checks in your spirit. You know, if we are really trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we will feel that and we will know that we need to stop. And I remember Fern Nichols, who was the founder of Moms in Prayer, she gave a talk one time and gave a story about something like that. She had had an argument with her husband. She felt like she was totally in the right. She felt that catch of the spirit and stopped. And it was, she's so funny, but it was funny how she explained it. But anyway, she encouraged us to not let it, not wait. When you feel that, confess it then. And try to at least have daily time of confession. But also, when you feel you're in the wrong about something, deal with it right then and there with God.
I love that. Yeah, do not linger. Absolutely. Because then it just kind of perpetuates this cycle of self-reflecting where, you know, okay, I'm definitely the one who's in the right, right? Because we always want to think about that of ourselves. And no, sometimes we are not. And I love how you mentioned the checks in the spirit, because I think today in our culture has a very real shame problem, meaning that they want to eliminate any feeling of discomfort all across the realm. But when we do that, we actually silence the voice of the Holy Spirit in certain circumstances, because shame can be a healthy response to a wrong action. And if we are just going along with, you know, progressive culture and how, oh, we're not supposed to feel shame in any circumstance, or if you feel shame, then that means that feeling is wrong. No. Shame can actually be healthy for to bring about repentance, but it becomes a problem when now all of a sudden that becomes an identity. So I think for that, that's important that you mentioned that check in the spirit, that maybe, oh, I'm feeling a little off here. I think maybe I messed up. Those feelings of discomfort can nurture some of the best spiritual growth and that refocusing on humility. So don't automatically toss it out or reject it if you're feeling a little bit of shame at the moment. But definitely if it's going on longer than that confession, or if maybe I'm hanging on to someone, something, and now allowing that to be like, oh, I'm just such an awful person. Wait a second. Now we're overshadowing the redemptive work of Christ and the redeeming work of his blood. So we need to rightly discern it, but not silence it. Does that make sense?
That you is think? Well said, Amy. Very well said. Yeah. And, you know, even I'm not so good as you are at recalling scripture and its references. That's something I could work on. But the word does say that God's word is good for rebuke and correction.
Amen.
So if we are spending time in his word, then his spirit is going to rebuke and correct us when we have sinned and we need to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So verses 11 and 12, I mean, they're focused on daily challenges and needs, as well as having that central component being around forgiveness and humility. And so very important just for our own walk as well. So that first chunk is about God and his kingdom. Second chunk is about our own daily needs, and also making sure that spiritually we are keeping right and forgiving those around us. And then we have verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And you have some really kind of important reflections that this is a request as well as guidance.
Yeah. I mean, so when you think about it, you are saying, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Mm-hmm. You are requesting his help in not being tempted by Satan, not falling to his, you know, schemes and evil ways, but deliver us from the evil one. So you are then asking as well in the same part there for his guidance and how to handle that.
Yeah.
And again, you know, his word tells us that we're going to be tempted, but he's always going to give us a way out.
Yeah.
So we need to be asking for us to identify that way, but then also to be brave enough and courageous enough to take that way.
Yo, 100%. And I mean, you know, it ties into, I've got my note up here, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it just highlights the importance of prayer in the midst of resisting temptation. So that way, when you're in that trial moment, that temptation moment, when you can stop and pray, oh my gosh, now we're like refocusing on the spirit in the midst of earthly temptations. Now all of a sudden our focus is on God in the midst of it. And just like Peter was able to walk on water when his eyes were focused on God, we are more likely to resist temptation when we are in prayer in the midst of it and can rightly see the way out of it. So,
right. And I think you mentioned earlier the armor of God.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, at the end of that portion of scripture, it says, and then stand.
And then stand.
And then stand. So we have to stand against the evil.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming for us, it's coming after us, and we have to stand against it.
Yeah. And what's so neat, y'all, when you look at the Lord's Prayer and then you skip forward to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to his crucifixion, you will see that his prayer to God actually models the Lord's Prayer. So it's just incredible how he not only he preached it, but he also practiced it well in the midst of the roughest temptation, the knowledge of what he was about to enter into. So it's amazing. And so, I mean, gosh, this has just been wonderful, but we have to like skip into now. Let's look at some structure of prayer and sort of how it's divided and that sort of thing. And you've sort of noticed four steps in your own sort of personal prayer life. So can you share with us some these four steps and how they've helped you?
Right. So we've touched on them briefly. Mm-hmm. And I did say, you know, it was introduced to me through Moms in Prayer. And I don't want women to get so caught up in this that they think, oh, this is the way I have to pray. Right. It has helped me because it helps me focus, to stay focused. It gives me a more intentional and kind of full orbed prayer life.
Yeah.
I don't find myself just asking God for things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also, it's good structure. And it can help you understand, like I said, the different aspects of prayer. So praise, confession, thanksgiving, and intercession are those basic four steps.
Yeah.
And if people have read any of the Mama Bear books and the Mama Bear prayers, we actually structured the prayers in that way. We came up with an acronym, the pause for prayers, that, you know, it's the same thing, but they can see that modeled. And it is something that I taught my boys when they were little.
Yeah.
When we had prayer time before bed, I would walk them through that and pray for them in that way. So find something that works for you. I would say you don't necessarily feel like you have to do it all the time. You might just do it, I don't know, do one of the steps of prayer. I I love to journal. I like to journal my prayers. Yeah. Some people do prayer list, but find what works for you. Or as you're introducing your children to it, I even had the thought, you know, maybe you could use sticky notes.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And like put up little categories mm-hmm. of those different types of prayer and have them put a prayer, you know, under the sticky note. So they start seeing kind of they have a visual for that. And then maybe you could also, as they are seeing prayers answered, they could move the sticky notes to an area that's answered prayer.
Yeah.
And they start seeing that, you know, stack up. So there's some different ways you can approach that, but like it was helpful for me. It helps stay focused. It builds your prayer life. And I would just encourage ladies to try that.
I love that idea. And the sticky notes, I was just thinking like that, I could see that being a kind of a fun thing for teens too, to where, you know, I was thinking of my own teen life. I had stickers and stuff on my door and I could totally see that being a thing. Like, okay, I'm going to take a sticky note. I'm just going to be like, okay, I just pray for me. I'm not going to give you the details because, you know, teens, privacy, all that stuff, you know, but I could put it on the outside of my door, and then, gosh, you know, a sibling or a parent walks by and they just see, you know, just need a little bit of prayer. That can be a sweet moment of, I'm going to lift up, you know, daughter, son in prayer. You know, that is such a cute
bathroom
idea.
Mirror.
I know, you know? Right? Because we all look at those.
Yeah. And you were talking about dinner time.
Yeah.
So what if maybe one night each, you focus on one night it's praise. Mm-hmm. One night it's confession, one night it's thanksgiving, one it's supplication. And then the final night of the week, you put it all together and kind of show them how a whole prayer could look that encompasses all those parts of prayer.
Yeah.
That might be another way.
Yeah, no, and that's a great idea. And that's one of the things, you know, for us as a family, my husband and I talked about it a bunch, like mealtime prayer feels just so generic. It's, you know, oh, you know, thank you, Lord, for this food and bless the hands that made it type of thing, to where we have been wanting for a while to just make it better. We're like, how can we have more intentional prayer, you know, without having everybody sort of like do the side eye, like, you know, I'm smelling these biscuits and prayer's going on for 15 minutes. Like, you know, my self-control is at its breaking point.
Yep.
And what came to mind is this past Christmas season, I was reading a devotional called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And what it gave was a great liturgy. You know, you're reading the creeds, but it also talked about prayer, and it mentions prayer for family, church, and the world. And so I loved that focus to where, oh my gosh, you know, if we're praying as a family, this is a great structure. You know, I was thinking of my son at the moment who just kind of was a little caught off guard, didn't quite know what to say. That it's like, okay, if we have those three categories to where we're bowing down, okay, how can we pray over our family? And, you know, as a mom of teen boys, you are probably going to have to, if you've got other teen boys, tell them this is not a time for backhanded prayers to bash your brother before Jesus. Yeah. You know, it's just kids.
Right.
Right. But it's, how can we pray for our family? How can we now pray for our church? It's like this ever widening sphere of influence and godly involvement. Mm-hmm. How can we lift up our church? You know, you can pick one thing like, okay, we're going to pray over missions, or we're going to pray over the children's ministry, or, you know, our church has a unwed mother's ministry, to where, you know, if a woman finds out she's pregnant, you know, what can we be in prayer for that ministry? And then the world, what is something that we can pray for the world for? And you could tie into culture, that sort of thing, to where the prayer doesn't have to go on for 25 minutes as the lasagna gets cold. I mean, you know, keep it in the warmer in the midst of it. But it gives a sort of structure for those mealtime prayers, instead of just sort of the generic, you know, bless this food, amen type of thing. It's okay, let's come together as a family. Cause a lot of families, that dinner time is the only time that everybody's gathered together off their phones and focused. So how can we unite as a family and now focus on this three part? Okay, let's each day a different person, pray for the pray something for the family, pray for the church, pray for the world. And that can be intermingled there to bring a little depth to that mealtime prayer.
Yeah. And, you know, even going back to praying for the church, definitely you want to pray for the local church and your own church body.
Yeah.
But we could show them how to pray for the church at large. Mm-hmm. I know our church has been doing a monthly prayer time that's been much more focused and intentional. And we have a prayer time where we pray for the persecuted church.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And that is a way to show the kids there is a cost mm-hmm. to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And there are people across the world who are paying huge prices mm-hmm. for that. And there are resources, you know, to get for that. And then praying for the world, certainly, you know, it could be missions, but it could be more cultural and things like that. I mean, thinking of kind of the spheres of influence of government,
yeah.
of education, entertainment and media
right.
and news sources, you know, the family at large, the church at large, and it seems like there's a couple others. But anyway,
yeah.
Kind of thinking about the things that those different spheres that influence culture.
And I mean, we chat about these, but you made a really good point as we were planning this podcast too, to where we know everybody's family dynamic is different. And if you're in a family dynamic where perhaps there isn't a believing spouse, Julie, you gave the great suggestion of, you know, if you are the spiritual matriarch of your family, you know, mm-hmm. that format of, you know, family, church, world, that can easily be transitioned into maybe a one-on-one bedtime prayer with a child as well.
Mm-hmm.
So. Right. So there's lots of opportunity for application there. But yeah, I know just me personally, just these past couple weeks, it's, oh man, this is how we can actually make a more intentional dinner time prayer and mealtime mm-hmm. prayer. So I was so excited to learn that over this Christmas season that I was like, man, I can't wait to share this with other moms and hopefully it be helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking back about, you know, when we struggled for how to have even just meaningful mealtimes. I know a lot of families say they try to have their kids share a good thing that happened that day, maybe a thing that wasn't so good, you know, something they struggled with,
yeah.
and maybe what's something that's upcoming, important for them or scary for them in the next week.
Mm.
You could easily turn those into prayers.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, have them talk about those needs mm-hmm. and then show them, okay, these can be turned into prayer and then pray about those. And it gives you more insight mm. than how to be praying for your kid in your own prayer time.
Oh, that's a great idea. And, you know, you also mentioned too of picking sort of monthly topics or sort of like focus topics that you can, mm-hmm. you can do with your family. And, you know, thinking of like the high school students too, is as they're coming up on graduation or they are trying to prayerfully seek the Lord's guidance on whether or not to go trade, college, military, whatever that might be. I mean, mm-hmm. as we're entering into college, let's have a month dedicated to just praying over the different aspects of college life, you know, as a family
right.
corporately. And, you know, there's something beautiful in having your siblings praying for you and lifting you up and that mm-hmm. nurtures that community, that fellowship that we see within the church that we also need within the family and help nurture that within the family. So I loved yeah. your suggestion that we were chatting about is having a topical focus too is an option to where if you really mm-hmm. want to is especially in times of discernment. I think maybe if family, if there's something big coming up for the family, potential move, job change, college, school, whether to discern, you know, homeschool, private, public, whatever that might be, coming together and dedicating a month to focus just on that and lift that up. It's like a blending almost of like prayer and fasting. It's like prayerful fasting,
yeah.
you know, to where we're focusing on this
yeah.
one topic. I love that idea.
Well,
that
and even focusing on the different pieces of the armor of God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could do that. And another resource, our church is getting ready to implement this. It's called the Pray For Me campaign. Mm. And it's leaving a spiritual legacy through prayer. And it's older people in the church praying for the younger people. It's a whole program and intention. But they have seven essentials mm. that they talk about praying for. These might be instructive to our moms. Praying for favor, wisdom, love, faith, purity and speech and conduct.
Awesome.
I mean, those are all great topics to be praying for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a great idea. So that's kind of we've looked at the Lord's Prayer. We've looked at and offered some suggestions for more intentional mealtime prayer. What about personal prayer? Let's take a quick look at personal prayer. How can we help our kids sort of launch their own prayer life and take ownership of their own faith?
Wow. I think maybe the biggest thing is modeling it. I mean, let them see that you have a personal prayer time and then maybe show them some ways to do it. Do they like to write? Do they like to color? Are they more visual? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good prayer apps out there. You might be able to even find one if your kid is a little more digitally minded and you can control that. There's ways, there are prayer apps that are available to help them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could even, shameless plug, I mean, look at the Honest Prayers for Mama Bears book. Mm-hmm. There are so many topics. I can't remember. It's 147 prayers or something like that in the
book. All different sorts of things that we're covering.
Yeah. And also, I think a real key is not to forget that prayer should be accompanied with scripture. Probably one of the greatest things we can do, and I'm still working on this, I'm trying to get better at this, is when I read my Bible, what can I take from what I just read and pray about? Can I identify, maybe even mark it in your Bible, some of those four steps? Is there a praise attribute in there? Well, then let me have a prayer right now, praising God for that. Mm-hmm. Is there something I need to confess that was talked about in the scripture? Let me pray about that.
Yeah.
Is there something that I see as a blessing of God that I can thank him about? And then are there things that I see that I need to be praying for, that kingdom come, will be done type thing? So I think maybe just starting with having them reading their Bible and learning how to pray the scripture is probably a foundational place to start.
Absolutely. And then from there, you know, I love how you mentioned journaling, drawing. I mean, however they express themselves, that now can be devoted in prayer. I mean, the Psalms is all prayers to music. I mean, if you've got a musical kid, which we do in our family, you know, that's a great time of prayer and meditation. And so, so yeah, I mean, it's one of those to where, yes, God gives us structure on how we are to pray, but we can now bring, I guess, for lack of better phrasing, our own sort of personality into there. And how can we now blend that act of worship through maybe art, journaling, music in the midst of prayer? And so it really is to each and every kid and each and every mom and dad, however, you know, your soul is met, however you meet the Lord in that way, you can now devote it to prayer.
Yeah. And like we're saying, we need this dedicated alone prayer time. Mm-hmm. Jesus models that all the time. He goes away in solitude and prays, and we need to do that. But we're also told to pray without ceasing. Yeah. So that's a good opportunity, just as daily things come up, to pray. Show your kid, like if you're driving in the car and an ambulance goes by, let's pray for the emergency workers and for the people they're going to attend, that they will get there and be able to help them, you know, correctly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just little things you see during the day, model for them that we can pray for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that need, and that's affirmed in Matthew 6:6 is when, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's that taking quiet time alone to separate yourself and to pray and devote fully to God is so important. So that's our personal prayer. So lastly, as we round this out, we've kind of touched on this a little bit here, but you know, the need for accountability prayers. So these are these would be prayers of maybe you there's a possibility of feeling conviction, needing accountability for perhaps a previous wayward behavior and building up to avoid that. Accountability toward right action. Maybe you're devoting yourself to more study and less scrolling. You know, these accountability prayers are important because it affirms our need and call for community within the church. Mm-hmm. But it's also something that you don't necessarily broadcast to every single person that you meet, but you have those intentional people who know you and who can ask you the tough questions in love to help you with that. And you kind of, you sort of had that in college.
Yeah, I did. You know, I think as you were saying, I mean, you're going to need great discernment given the age of the kid and who their accountability person is. But having a prayer partner in college was amazing for me. A friend of mine and I, we just decided we wanted to study more about prayer. Mm. We got a book, we worked through it. We held each other accountable to praying daily for a certain amount of time. We would come back together and discuss that, and we would share prayer requests with one another to be praying for each other. Mm-hmm. And that just developed so much accountability and confidence and confidentiality is very important in that. And I mean, I hearken back to my mom's and prayer group times at the, we have a prayer sheet that we work through in our weekly prayer. And at the bottom, it says what's prayed in the group stays in the group. And when you
the Christian version of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Absolutely. And when you know that in that group of moms, you can bring the most gut-wrenching prayers for your kids, and you can trust that it's not going outside of that circle.
Yep.
And we've got a group now that are post-college moms still praying together. And we have a prayer thread that if a need comes up, we know that we can text each other and that those women are on it.
Wow.
You know, so it's, and also, but you spoke more to accountability. So I think a lot of that is being willing to want to be accountable too.
Yeah. Yep. And being honest when those questions are asked. Yeah. It's, it's a vulnerable spot, but that's what we're called to do. I mean, iron sharpening iron, the way that's able to happen is friction against a hard source to shave off those impurities, which means it's going to be uncomfortable. It's not always going to feel the greatest, but I mean, as, as we say constantly at Mama Bear, it's not about the feelings, it's about truth. And so we have to be willing that. And I think that's a, and I love when you say college, because I think that's really important, especially for our teenagers, to teach them on how to rightly discern good, healthy, godly friendships, to practice that confidentiality that you talk about, that self-control, that humility, and then that honesty too, because that's what we need for fellowship and community. And just like it's made a huge lasting impact in your life, it can with our kids as well.
Right. And if you've got one good friend that can be that prayer partner for you, that accountability partner, you are blessed.
Oh,
so,
amen.
And I would say pray for that. Ask for that if that's something you need, and God will answer. I think He would honor that prayer for sure.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And I mean, so many churches nowadays, if you're looking for a way to get started, connect with your local church or local churches. Maybe your local church may not have a program, but a lot of churches have mom groups that are weekly. You know, ladies come together, they get fellowship, they get spiritually fed. There's childcare for like an hour and a half. I mean, like, amen. there's great fellowship and community that can be nurtured there. And, you know, thinking about your accountability groups, you know, if that's something that maybe one of our listeners is desiring, perhaps prayerfully discern if that's something for you to start in your church. Because I mean, it just takes one person to start this thing. Who knows how many others are yearning for this, but they just haven't spoken up because of it. So, I mean, that could be an awesome ministry opportunity out there for starting a prayer ministry. And, you know, our podcast is geared toward the women, but men as well, our husbands, our guy listeners, you know, y'all need this too as godly men for that accountability. So, I mean, it's great opportunity for potential future ministry.
Right.
So, Julie, we are going to wrap up here, and I'm just so grateful. Listeners, we've got so many great resources. Julie listed out an amazing amount of these. Go to our show notes, check out our resources for you. But as we round out, Julie, is there just any lasting encouragements that you just want to pass off to our listeners?
Yeah, you know, I was telling you, it may be partly the season I'm in life, but the older I get, the more I study about prayer and the more I realize this, that prayer is about perseverance. It's about obedience, and it leads to our sanctification.
Amen.
And while there are so many times I go to pray and I just want this instant download of an answer and a solution, and it doesn't come, and I'm like, what is up with this, God? Don't you know I need you right now?
Yep.
You know, and I'm not that that doesn't and can't happen, but a lot of times our prayers are gonna, we are in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
And I have been asking myself, am I in it just for the feels and what I can get from God? Is that why I'm approaching Him in prayer? Or is it more about my relationship with Him? And is Jesus enough?
Wow.
And those are convicting questions. And it's just something I would like to encourage moms to know. Stay in it for the long haul. Persevere. If you can only do it out of obedience, do it. A lot of times that duty does turn to delight.
Yeah.
And I know in the mornings when I get up, I am looking forward to my prayer time and my Bible study time. And the Mama Bear book on prayer does have some questions answered in the back about prayer for things moms might be struggling with. And there's also a closing chapter that I talk about starting a prayer legacy. And it kind of hits on some of these things about just persevering and staying in it to the end. You know, a lot of times, some answers we might not see till heaven.
Yeah.
And some it might take years to see, but that doesn't mean we don't pray.
Oof, amen. Thank you so much for that, Julie. Well, Mamas, Papas, listeners, we are so grateful that you joined us here today. Stay tuned. If you are looking for more resources and information, check out our website, Mama Bear Apologetics. That's MAMA Bear Apologetics.com for more resources, wisdoms, blogs, podcasts, all of the things to help you train up your children and grow in the Lord.